How did it happen that your relationship with music has become so close? I mean, when you understood that this was one of your main contexts of reference for your work, I mean, you've worked with the fashion industry, with sport, and everything else, but music is playing a huge part in your work. Can you explain me something about this?
Yeah, well, the thing is that I only picked up a camera because of music, you know. I was never a photographer who just started to think about what he wanted to photograph. I loved music so much that I thought in order to get a bit closer to it, it would be nice maybe to have a camera in your hand and go to the front of the stage. So it was the only subject matter for me that mattered. It was just an excuse. Photography was not for me anything in itself. It was purely an excuse to get closer to music. And of course that changed after a while because I started to love photography. But then I still felt that music was a great subject matter. You know, it was young people who, you know, image and music go very much hand in hand. You know, the thoughts you have when you play a record at home. Later it became, of course, for me an inspiration for video clips, but also quite often for the sort of mood for a photograph. And those people became natural subject matters for me. You know, and initially it was, of course, on stage. But very quickly, I abandoned that, partly, because I didn't feel I had enough control. And so I geared towards, I went towards portraiture, and I wanted to have more control of my work. So I left this whole stage thing, and I became a portrait photographer. But subject matters were always artists, and almost always musicians. But after, in the 90s, they started to include a lot of actors and directors and painters and writers and models, you know, and also actually, you know, some politicians and also some sports people. Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me about this work presented in this gallery? Tell me about You Two and I. Talk me about this collaboration that lasts since... It's now 23 years, right?
It's nearly 24 years even, you know, in February it'll be 24 years, so it's scary. But, you know, it's a very ambivalent thing because I always argue against the term rock photographer because I find it derogatory. I find that it doesn't really does my work justice because... rock photography to me is something that has only to do with the subject matter, not with the way how the subject matter is photographed, and for me that's very essential. So I always feel I'm a photographer who happens to photograph a lot of musicians. But with You Two and I looked at my work and I actually said to Bono, I have photographed you so over such a long period of time, and it's such an interesting development between us, and I didn't know of any other photographer ever in the world that has done a project of one band or one musician over that period of time and has taken all the important photographs. So I was in an incredibly unique position, and I felt it was a shame not to put it into a book, you know, to celebrate that fact. So I took 5 months off last year. I mean, I had this plan already for a long time, but every year I said I can't take that sort of time off. So last year I decided to do it because I felt it was very important to me to actually do it at one point. And you know, I ended up with a book that could have been twice the size it is now. It's now over 400 pages. But I ended up with a book that shows three very important things to me. It shows how people develop over 22 years. That would be whether they're U2 or not. 22 years in somebody's life, you can see them changing from young to old, from innocent to experienced, as Bono says. Secondly, you can see how you two, in this case, change the behavior in front of the camera, from being shy, introvert, to being very extrovert. And thirdly, you see my photography developing. So it's those three things that are very, very interesting aspect in this kind of book, and that's why I made the book chronological, so you can see that whole development. And I wanted to make a book that I hadn't seen the equivalent of before. So there's of course a lot of music books out on the Stones, Beatles, you name it.
Everything.
but nothing ever that I thought was intelligent or inspiring. You know, some books contain very great pictures, but it was
but
never
not
as
related
a whole
in some way to to an experience, to a partnership, a relationship with the artist.
Well, so sometimes they did, but never over that long a period of time. But what I felt missing, then the pictures were interesting, but the book as a whole, the design, there was always something not right, you know. So I wanted to do it all on a very good level. So I managed to design it really beautifully, and also to ask a few people that would broaden it and to show the extent of U2's appeal. It's a mass appeal, of course, but also it's an intelligent appeal. So yeah. I asked Bill Clinton to write in it, William Gibson, Wim Wenders, Salman Rushdie, Helena Christensen, you know, Michael Stipe, and they all wrote something in it. So I felt that was really a very new thing in a music book to have these people write. And I did an interview with Bono, and he interviewed me. So all that is in there.
So a very, very close thing.
Yes, but it's also, you know, I wanted to take it away from being too primal, too much like rock fans, you know. Wanted to make it to a level that was interesting, and to show what was really going on, you know. I think I'm a pretty good photographer, and it was an interesting thing to apply this photography to one bunch of people, you know, over that long period of time. So that was the book, and the picture you have in front of you lying here is my favorite picture I think I took of you too. It's a photograph of the band with their fathers, and I think what is so interesting in this picture is that when you take away the individual clothing of people and you put them with their fathers, you know, the genes are incredibly similar. So in this photograph,
even the faces and the gestures.
Yes, the whole DNA, you know, it's
and
incredible.
How do they? So for and me, the way they present themselves to the eye of the photographer as well.
Yeah, and for me, in this picture, you have the past, the present, and the future.
Yeah,
all in one picture, and that's an incredible thing to have. So I'm very proud that we managed to do this while all the fathers were still alive.
Well, yeah, because Bono's father died in the meanwhile.
Yes, yeah,
right. And you know, Christian Boltanski is one of the most important living French artists.
Mm-hmm.
Once said that every artist gets to become more and more similar to his own works. And connecting to this, he said once that he feels similar to a box of biscuits because of course so many of his works see a box of biscuits used.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you relate with such a thing? I mean, in which way you feel similar to your work, which way your work represents yourself?
Well, you know, I think I put quite a lot of myself into my work in the end. You know, it has to do also with your choices. I feel these days that, you know, what I do matters more and more to me, and the things that don't matter to me, I tend to not do anymore. It has to do with things that are closer to your heart or closer to how you feel that you are. You know, I just turned down a big advertising job because I hardly ever do an advertising job, and I just, you know, don't feel like doing something where other people have an idea what you should be doing. You know? And so you become much stronger and much more. I believe much more in my own ideas, I think, and I guess you believe much more in yourself in the end. Yeah, and I think my current work reflects that far more, I think. And of course, it's difficult to not develop. You know, if you look at my old pictures, which I still really really like, but I can't do it like that anymore because it would be sort of ignoring your experience. You know, and ignoring what you've learned on the way. Mm-hmm. You know, both in technical terms, but also very much in mental terms.
Okay, I'm very curious about your everyday life? I mean,
how is
Anton Corbijn, besides of his work, his photography, his relationship with musicians, with
my
the fashion industry, with everything
it's
else?
It's very simple, you know. I usually wake up in the Ritz Hotel, and some model lies next to me.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And we have champagne breakfast.
Wow.
And that's before the driver takes us to a nice place. That's most of the days go like that. Uh-huh. Other days I have some exhibitions. But my life is it's exciting in some ways, you know. I was in New York, then I was in London, now I'm here, tomorrow I'm in Madrid, and next week in America. I mean, so that's how my life goes. But
yeah,
it sounds always more glamorous than it is, because mm-hmm. quite often you find yourself with total strangers now,
yeah,
for instance. And when I'm in London, I quite often eat late on my own, you know. It's hard for relationships. I'm sorry, but it's the same thing. Interesting. Everywhere I go, I know people.
Yeah.
You know, so it's glamorous in other people's eyes. But at the same time, it's a very small scale, and it's very much down to me. I can't rely on a lot of technology or any of these things. So you have to throw yourself into it every single time, and that's the moments that matter. You know, for the rest of this year has been, I worked very hard, but it's also been a lot of celebration in a
yeah.
funny way this year for me, because I became 50. My YouTube book came out, and it's been incredibly successful.
Mm-hmm.
And my DVD came out, and that, you know, my YouTube book celebrated in a way 22, 23 years of work. My DVD celebrates also 22 years of work. So that is pretty incredible that you can. You know, be in a position, luckily enough, that people would like to celebrate your work.
Well,
you know?
Yeah.
So that feels all really good, and I'm doing nice things at the moment. I'm starting on a feature film, and it all feels really good. You know, I have to knock wood somewhere, but which is not. I don't see any wood. but here, I'm sure.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. Also, currently in Italy, there is a Robert Mapplethorpe show, which of course is creating, you know, the huge polemics.
Of course.
Yeah. And he kind of considered himself much more as a painter and as a sculptor,
really?
You know, depicting a subject, than a photographer. What do you feel interests you the most as a photographer, and how do you consider yourself much more painting?
Yeah, not sculpture at all, you know, for me. It's much more painting. I really wish I was a painter, but I'm hopeless. but you can see in some of my designs, you know, when I design album sleeves for Depeche Mode or anybody, the lettering is always done with a paintbrush.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I love the look of a paintbrush, and I've always loved it. My grandfather was a painter, and I can't think of any friends that are photographers, but I have quite a few friends who are painters. So
that's great.
I love that world, and I'm very jealous of their freedom. But I realize there's a lot of loneliness involved with painters too, and it's a difficult profession, but. I find it very
being a drummer too.
Being a drummer? Oh, yes. Drummer is nice. You know, I hope to end up like Woody Allen at some day. You play with friends on a Tuesday evening. You play somewhere in a little bar just for fun.
Yeah,
that sounds good.
Friends.
Yeah.
Okay, just a final question. You've worked so much with Depeche Mode.
Mm-hmm.
It's like more than 10 years that you take care of the covers and and the imagery and the video clips and
19
years.
86 was the first video.
86. Yeah, right. And Enjoy the Silence has become a sort of a visual icon as well as one of the masterpieces of pop. Can you tell me something about the behind the scenes of this project?
Well, there were a little behind the scenes, apart from the biggest problem was for the band to agree to the idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Because the idea of a king
with a deck chair,
with a deck chair on a mountain,
nobody
was great.
Like,
I mean,
no, but it's only great because you can see it now.
Well, yeah,
but
yeah.
If you say as an idea, because they thought they wrote the best something bigger. Of course, they thought something a very different idea.
Yeah,
I've been very lucky because in other bands or other people nowadays, if you ask to do a video. You know that they've asked for other people too.
Well, yeah.
That's how it goes now.
Yeah. And they have a specific idea on how to make it.
They send to four people, at least ask to write, and then they take the best script. It depends, they only ask me. So when I say, this is my idea, and they say, we don't like it. Can you come back with another idea?
Okay.
So I think, I can't come back with another idea, because once it's in your head, you can't change it. So I come back with the same idea, so, you know, this is our best song, we have to come back with another idea. And in the end, I came back to the same idea. I said, well, just make it. You know, they couldn't, they decided to give up. They said, well, just make it. They didn't believe in it. And when I made it, and somehow it was the right thing for that song. And it was very big on MTV in America, which is incredible.
And one of the
people say
most huge successes.
I was the David Lynch of pop music, of music videos. Because there was a strangeness to it, you know, which I like. Anyway, so, but it'd be very hard to do a video like that now.
Well, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, but they were very cheap, those things, you know. It's me with a Super 8 camera, my producer, makeup, and Dave. So it's four people traveling.
Yeah.
With a deck chair and the King's outfit. We go to Scotland, to Portugal for two locations, for Switzerland, and then we do the band in a studio in London.
It was simple,
yeah. I mean, I just recently found all the real footage, all the film, and I want to re-edit it a bit.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Okay.
But it's 300 times better than the Enjoy the Silence remix video.
Really?
Oh, it was awful. Did you see that? But did you see the remix video?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Oh yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, but even the remixes are barely comparable to the original song. So.
Well, also, but I think. What people make the mistake, and what was wrong with Depeche Mode, is that because it's electronic music, people approach it as electronic, and
no,
I approach it as soul. You know, to have something with soul. So all my videos have to do with the people.
Yeah.
And the other people who made videos with Depeche Mode generally don't deal with the people. They see it as a sound thing, and I think that's a mistake. And that's what happened with Depeche Mode at the moment. And that's why I'm doing another video with them, because I think they really need it.
Yeah,
you might think that's arrogant, but I think I'm really right in saying that.
I really hope this relationship will still develop and produce what it has produced in the past.
I hope so. I think the stage is the best we've done, I think, you know, at the moment. So, yeah, let's hope so.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Carlo, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Yes.